Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd. We are packed, jammed on a Friday. Live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Absolute pleasure to have you in today. I love being here. Urban Meyer in 15 minutes. Going to talk about the NFL draft, Dwayne Haskins, his Buckeye players. Can't wait for that. The entire new college football crew at Fox is going to stop by our show today. So last night, and I've been saying this now for the last month, Kevin Durant's the world's best basketball player. He does not have Magic Johnson's charisma. He does not have kind of Michael Jordan's, I guess almost use the word, charisma. He's not an icon at 16 years old like LeBron James, but at different times, Magic was the world's best basketball player. Michael was the world's best basketball player. LeBron was the best basketball player for about 10 years. And Kevin Durant's now the world's best basketball player. Last night was a clinic. He got poked in the ribs, Steve Kerr even poked him in the ribs a little bit. He came out last night. Game was over in 8 minutes. Best basketball player in the world. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. Giannis, sorry, doesn't shoot threes, doesn't handle the ball like KD. Steph doesn't have his size, his length. James Harden doesn't have his overall game, not the defender, not the length, not his athletic. This is the world's best basketball player. I'm not saying the gap between him and LeBron is gigantic, but this is it. This is what it looks like. Okay, and when he joined the Golden State Warriors, he joined it for basketball reasons. He's like, I can't win titles with crazy Westbrook. He joined it for basketball reasons and winning basketball. Those are the right reasons. This is why he shouldn't go to New York, because he's not joining New York for basketball reasons. I had dinner about a week ago with Mark Few, the coach of Gonzaga. And I asked him, he was at the mini camp this summer with USA Basketball, and Harden was there, and Westbrook was there, and Kevin Durant was there. And I'm not going to give away, you know, most of the private conversation, but I did ask him about Durant, and he just laughed. Mark Few just laughed. He went, man. You know who else had that response? Mike Krzyzewski, the first time he was asked about LeBron James, that he saw him. I remember that. And Krzyzewski was like, about LeBron, man, When talent evaluators like Mark Few and Mike Krzyzewski can't explain a guy, it's like, wow, yeah, you can't stop that guy. I mean, that is what you have right now. And last night he got poked in the ribs and completely dominated the game. And here's what I say. When you work your entire life to be great at something, LeBron worked his entire life to be great at something, and you become the best at something, what Kevin Durant is. You keep your foot on the pedal. Okay, now LeBron James went to Los Angeles, and I understood it because he'd been the best basketball player in the world for about a decade or more. And you can make an argument. LeBron said, listen, I can sense it. I'm not quite the same player. I don't have the energy. I'm going to move into business. I got that with Michael Jordan, and I get it with LeBron. But that's not the case with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's got 3 to 4 more prime years. He's worked his entire life to be the best basketball player in the world. He is it. You do not move away from basketball. Now, if he wants to come back with a new arena, and then maybe he gets banged up a little, and then he thinks, you know what, man, I'm on the back nine. And then Kevin wants to go to New York, I get it. But last night was another example. He is just crazy. The NBA is full of great basketball players. Even among the greatest basketball players, Giannis, Steph, Harden, Durant's a notch above. He gets his shot whenever he wants it. And Marcus Thompson covers him. He's writing a book on Kevin Durant. We had him at the end of our show yesterday, Marcus Thompson. He's got the closest relationship with Kevin Durant, any money in the American media. It was a fascinating interview. I just sat here just asking quick questions and listening. And again, he's not Magic personality-wise. He doesn't have the charisma, doesn't dress like Jordan, who always looked like a model. He doesn't have the iconic 15 years old, the chosen one like LeBron. But he's a different cat, but he's unbelievable. Here's Marcus.
Kevin Durant, you got to work to get to him, right? Like he makes you work. He is so personable. Like he's a human. Like he's the most human guy I've ever covered, right?
Really?
Yes, no question. He talks to you, he feels what you're saying. Like you can have an existential conversation with him. No question. Like he loves to talk. You know, when he gets mad at you, he's gonna let you know. When when you say something funny, he's gonna laugh. Like he's that way. Kevin Durant is like, you go in there, you prod him. You know, you're gonna get something from him off the bat.
Yeah. So again, we've had different times in the history of the NBA, and I've watched it for four decades. Sometimes the best basketball player, Kareem, was kind of aloof and quiet. Sometimes the best basketball player, Magic Johnson, had a huge personality. Sometimes he's been polarizing, LeBron James. Kevin's the best basketball player in the world. And he's not like everybody else. He's a little more sensitive. He's real. You poke him, he responds. But God, last night was a clinic. He just a clinic. There's great, and then there's Durant. And it's an amazing place to be in your life. You work your butt off your entire life to be the best radio guy, the best landscaper, the best lawyer, the best whatevs, and you get there. You don't take your foot off the gas. You take your foot off your gas in 4 years when you're out of your prime and you want to go to New York. You don't take it off now. You stay in basketball nirvana in Oakland, and you win every last game you can. All right, let me shift to this. I got to admit, I looked really smart last night. Weren't you watching that Sixers game and going, I hate Cowherd. Yeah, I hate that guy. Come on, you Philadelphia fans. Admit it. You don't like me. Some of you Eagle fans have turned. You like me a little. But you Sixer fans don't like me. But last night, you sat there watching on your black and white TV in Philadelphia, and you're like, Cowherd's right. We're better when Simmons is the star and Embiid sitting. So I said yesterday, last night is what the Philadelphia 76ers should look like going forward. Ben Simmons has got the ball, no center clogging up the middle, and a bunch of J.J. Reddicks and Butlers and Tobias Harris on the outside. That is the future. Joel Embiid not playing showed you what it should look like. You cannot have two guys in the NBA on your roster that can't shoot threes. So you better pick one, Simmons, who can at least get the ball to guys who can shoot threes. Get it to Redick. Get it to Butler. Get it to Tobias Harris. Okay. Oklahoma City had the same situation where Harden and Westbrook, they had to make a choice. And Westbrook at the time was slightly more developed in his game than Harden was with his, and they chose Westbrook. But they didn't watch where the NBA was going, and it was going in Harden's direction, not Westbrook. And they didn't have the vision. And so they chose the more developed player in the moment. And this morning, Embiid is more complete in his game than Simmons is in his. Simmons is still evolving. Embiid, this is the product. And Embiid's product today is better than Simmons. But basketball isn't just about what it used to be and what it is. It's about where it's going. And it's going to Simmons. Number one, I'm not into bigs. Used to be, my favorite player was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for years. But I'm not into Karl Anthony and Anthony Davis and Embiid. I mean, I think they're great players. Show me them leading their franchises to playoff wins. Because that's all this sport's about. It's about the postseason. Number two is I'm not into bigs who get hurt. Anthony Davis hurt a lot. Embiid has still missed more games than he's played for the Sixers. I'm not making that up. By the way, out last night. Last year, Miami, out two games. He's hurt a lot. C, you could get a ton for Joel Embiid on the market. Of course you could. He's a great player. I mean, he walks into an arena, he's 27 points and 12 rebounds. He's fun, he's social, he can be dominating. There's got to be a team in this league that doesn't have shooters or bigs, and they got some assets and draft picks, and they want to have a dominant player. Embiid's an all-star, one of the 10, 12 best players in America right now. He's got value. Don't tell me he doesn't have value. Anthony Davis has value. A big who gets hurt and doesn't have a lot of playoff resume stuff. But be very careful. Basketball is changing. We have a renaissance going on. Houston Golden State is the way to do it. Philadelphia, Colin, why do you have to get rid of either of them? Have you watched the Sixers this year? Second best roster in the NBA to Philadelphia, and they're a number three seed in the East? They'd be a number six, seven seed in the West. The second best roster in the NBA. Warriors, Philadelphia, Houston. And, you know, then you could argue Milwaukee, Boston. So the bottom line, Embiid, who's already been hurt, before he gets hurt big, this is what you should look like. Get Simmons the ball. If you have a big with Simmons, it'll clog up the lane. And he's going to score 90% of his points in his career at the basket. He's a 6'10.5 point. Outside of Magic, I've never seen anybody who even looks like Ben Simmons at point. And he's going to give you, last night, 31 points. He's going to give you 24 a night at the rim. And Embiid can give you 27 at the rim, but Embiid can't get it to shooters and control the tempo like Ben Simmons. And I like Embiid. Yesterday, I unveiled my 12 best basketball players in the NBA. I had Embiid at like 6. He is more refined today than Ben Simmons. He is. And Westbrook and Harden, back when they had to make a decision, Westbrook was a more complete player at that moment than Harden, who was still developing. But don't get caught up in the moment. This is why there's great stock pickers in America on Wall Street. Not just the stock price today. What's it going to be in 6 years? The Sixers last night, that's what they should look like. Give me Redick on one wing. Give me Tobias on another. Give me Butler on another. You trade Embiid, you get another shooter somewhere. Maybe a draft pick. Go draft next year. The best shooter you can find. But that's the NBA tomorrow. Today, it looks more like Embiid. Every year, less and less like that and more like Simmons. Good stuff. By the way, it was kind of ironic. In Brooklyn, they were teasing Ben Simmons. They had these missing posters on poles in Brooklyn. Ben Simmons' jumper's missing. Yeah, who was missing? Embiid didn't play. Simmons was great. Best guy on the floor.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It's my pleasure. A guy I've known for a long, long time. Urban Meyer, 3 national championships. I think one of the most remarkable things about Urban Meyer, who's now part of the new Fox College Football Show, 15 bowl games, 12-3. In fact, your teams in 15 bowl games, you had one really bad bowl game. And I remember afterwards you were at Florida. You said, I didn't like this team. This team drove me crazy. Do you remember that team that was had a bunch of NFL guys and it drove you nuts?
I think it was 2007.
Exactly, it was.
Yeah.
So you're one of the great bowl game coaches, turned around 2 programs. By the way, folks, played college football at Cincinnati. He was a defensive back, and he would hit you. I know all about Urban Meyer. Okay, now let's get to the stuff that I'm fascinated with. Dwayne Haskins. Okay, I said the New York Giants have the number 6 pick. So I watched them in Ohio State. He's a perfect pocket guy. He moves. I don't love his accuracy, but here's my problem. You had so many good receivers at Ohio State this year that so many of his yards, a lot of drag, you get Paris Campbell the ball, boom, he's gone. How much is Dwayne and how much are the receivers? I don't remember you having this many good, speedy receivers. How much credit does he get and how much was your offense and the receivers, Coach?
Well, I think that's a great analysis. I think that, we've had, you go Alex Smith to Chris Leak to Tim Tebow to Cardale Jones, JT Barrett, Braxton Miller was in there. He's by far the most accurate guy. I put him a lot with the same with Alex Smith that we had. But the job of a quarterback is utilize his personnel, and that's what he did. We had very good receivers, yet. And the other thing that is accuracy is number one. Number two is his football IQ is outstanding. Ryan Day did a great job with him. But he never really got hit. And he had the great, he has great presence to understand which way to flip the protection. And that's going to be, I think that's one of the most overlooked things for quarterbacks. What's his football IQ? Because when you see him not get hit, you say, well, the offense line is great. Wait a minute. A lot of times they're flipping protections to make sure they're picking up the pressures. And that's what, other than accuracy, that's Dwayne's strength.
Okay, when he moves his accuracy dip, should I be concerned?
His movement is just okay. He's not, I saw his body the other day when he was training. He's still young. He has 1 year under his belt playing. He's grown up into his body, and I that's a concern, but not that big a concern.
Is he mature enough to be the face of a $5 billion franchise?
Not yet. He's close, though. He's only got 1 year under his belt, and I think the situation will be perfect. And there's a couple of them out there. He comes in, he learns for a year. At some point, he'll be the face of a franchise.
Okay, because the Giants are a $6 billion franchise eventually, and there's a lot of heat in New York. You put him behind Eli, show him how to be a pro. That worked for you?
A lot of conversation about that, and without studying it in great detail, I think that's ideal.
Okay. Now I want to talk about Nick Bosa. So when Joey came out years ago, I said this on the air. I said he's either going to be great or a bust, because I watched him. He took a bunch of plays off, and I said, I like my edge rusher. Sometimes I'll give a 330-pound defensive tackle some plays off. A lot of body weight. I look at Nick, and this is just what my eyes tell me. There's a little brother I like in him. He's feistier. And when your brother's great, you want to prove you're as good as your brother. I actually like this Bosa, and the other one's great, more than the other one. There's something about his motor. Okay, so what am I seeing? Explain, because you had both.
Well, it's a great family lineage, too. Yes. His father was a first-round draft pick out of Boston College. His mother's brother was Eric Kumro, and so that's another first-round draft pick. Nick Bosa is as good a football player. He's a tough cat. He's a 3.3 GPA guy. He does everything right. When he went down, it took us 2 months to get over that. That's how good of a player he is. I don't know if there's a can't miss, but if I'm a general manager in the NFL, I don't know how you let that one go. That's how good a player he is.
Really?
He's that good.
You have to double him. Khalil Mackish.
Yeah, you have to chip him, double him. You have to slide to him. There's different ways that people are going to try it. But his 4-6, well, as we call 4-6 A to B, his relentless pursuit of a quarterback and effort is as good as I've ever seen.
I don't see him take plays off.
No, he's an animal. He's an animal, and he just trains like an animal, too. He's the entire package.
Okay, I want to go to the number one pick, Kyler Murray. So when I think of you, Urban, I actually think of offense, and I think of quarterbacks. People forget how good Chris Leak was, because Tebow was so dynamic and so, you know, he was just, Tim Tebow was college football for about 3 years. People forget Chris Leak was unbelievable. A tremendous player, very cerebral, but he didn't have the size for the NFL. So you've had a lot of different quarterbacks. You had runners. You had Alex Smith can run, so sure, like straight line speed, big time. So I look at Kyler Murray and I'm like, okay, looks small to me. I know he put on 10 pounds here. It looks like he plays at 188. I draft Bosa as zero doubt, size, speed. Is it, when you look as a guy who knows quarterbacks, can't I say it looks like he plays at 188? Kyler looks small to me.
I think the Russell Wilson has given every small quarterback a glimmer of hope, because you'd think logically to put a 5'10", 5'11", however big Kyler is, behind these, you know, these giant human beings, that doesn't make sense. But the coach did a great job getting him out of the pocket, creating throwing lanes for him. And he's arguably, you know, we had Braxton Miller. He looks to me like a Braxton Miller back there. I mean, a guy that can extend plays, elite, elite athlete, and obviously has an elite arm. Here's a question. He has 1 year body work. Those are the two top quarterbacks in the NFL draft right now. They played 1 year of football. And you're talking about quarterback experts or, you know, the guy. Usually it takes 4 to 5 years to learn how to play that position. Those would be my concerns about our guy, Dwayne, and Kyler. I mean, they have 1 year.
If you ran an NFL franchise and you're a college guy and that's what you love, and I think it works, you and Nick Saban, I think your personalities work for college. You're both great recruiters and personnel guys. Not that you couldn't work at the next level, but if you did run an NFL franchise today, would you take the bigger Dwayne, the athletic guy? I think I would sit in that room and I'd struggle with the size. Maybe I couldn't get over it. Because everybody says Russell Wilson, coach, Russell's one of the best players I've ever seen play the game. That's not fair. I'm not saying you said it. Everybody's saying Russell Wilson. I'm like, does everybody get Russell Wilson's a first ballot Hall of Famer? Could you take Kyler number one?
I could. Would I take him ahead of Dwayne? I'm not sure. You said the same thing about Russell Wilson. I'll say the same thing about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. That's so hard to be the guy that can't get out of trouble. And I look at Peyton Manning and I look at Tom Brady, and I mean, I've coached that position forever, been around, stand right behind him in practice. That's why it's so hard to find the pure classic drop-back quarterback that's exceptional. I think if I'm a general manager, you have to have a quarterback that can get out of trouble. I believe Dwayne can do that. He's not going to be the Kyler Murray, and he's not going to be Russell Wilson, but he's good enough to get yourself out of trouble, and that's a huge part of playing quarterback.
Yeah. So you Bowling Green, you turned around immediately. Utah, you turned around immediately. Florida, you turned around immediately. Ohio State, you turned around immediately. Bill Parcells is the only person in the history of football that I can compare you to. Takes Nick a while. Took Belichick a while. It didn't take you a while. Didn't take Parcells. What's the secret sauce into quick turnarounds? Because if you're a Jet coach and Adam Gase, you know, you're looking for a quick turnaround. Like, what is your secret sauce on that?
I appreciate those kind words. And I think I talked to a lot of young coaches about this. I think it's this. I think it's not secret sauce. It's when you see a coach take over a program, a lot of times you'll hear the media and you'll hear sometimes coaches say, wait till I get my guys in here. The minute you say I'm the coach, they're your guys. And you better love them, you better grind them, and you better embrace their talents and not say, wait till I get my own guys in there. That drives me insane when I hear that. So we go to Bowling Green. They're great players there. You never take a shot at the previous coach. You don't do that. You embrace it. You love these guys up. They're your family now. And I just think that's, you look at, we took over from at Bowling Green from great coach Gary Blackney. Took over for Ron McBride at Utah.
He was terrific.
Ron Zook, great coach. And obviously Jim Tressel and Luke Fickell, great coaches. So we would never go backwards and say, well, you know, don't worry about that. They're your players. Love them up. Create that team. They are your guys. And I used to hear the media say, well, why did he get his own guys in there? These are our guys. The minute you sign on as head coach, they're your players.
So the NFL draft is interesting because, you know, you do this. You see a high school kid and he dominates physically. And then you get him to Ohio State and some guys, they just don't love football. And then the Bosas, they love football. So you've recruited a lot of five-star guys, and they play like three-star guys. And you've taken, I could name guys you've taken who are three-star guys and play like five-star guys. So you're sitting there, if when Belichick calls you, and Bill's called you 100 times, and like how much of football, obviously there's a sized thing that matters. But when you and Belichick, as much as you could tell me, have a conversation, it seems like a lot of times Bill doesn't get caught up solely in that. That Bill has built an NFL dynasty that's double the length of the Niners, triple the length of Jimmy Johnson's. It's unheard of. A conversation with Bill. What moves Bill on players?
The same thing that moves me, and I think the people that do the research on players. Bill Belichick's one of the few head coaches that comes and spends time with our staff. He wants to know, because he has the measurables, 40-yard dash, vertical jump, height, weight, 225 bench press test. To him, that's called measurables, immeasurables. Here's the question I have when I recruit. Let me see him in the rivalry game. On fourth down, why is that coach not running behind that right tackle if he's your best player? On fourth down or the big situations of the game, why is he not showing up? I don't want to see the highlight tapes of him against an inferior opponent where he's running touchdowns and sacking quarterbacks. That means no difference. So to me, it's the competitive spirit in the hardest situations. And we said, when I needed you the most, did you give us your very best? That's what makes Bosa Bosa now. He's going to play his best in the best games. And when we go out recruit, the mistakes we made or when we say he's got the talent but he just doesn't show up in the big game, I fight that big time. And I know Coach Belichick and the elite coaches, to me, they're the ones always asking me those questions. What's he like against our rival? What's he like on fourth down? Is he the guy that you're going to run behind? Is he the guy that you're going to give the ball to? Those are the guys that have the competitive heart to be champions.
Rich McKay told me years ago, you know, Rich, Atlanta Falcons, he used to run the Buccaneers. He said, I love watching Saturday night SEC games. Who stars? That's 100,000 people. You're 19 years old. He goes, if you can star in that environment at 19, at 24, you can star for us against the Saints on Monday Night Football. Like, to your point. Big games, big moments, who stars in the SEC on a Saturday night?
Competitive spirit. That's the difference between it's not tall, short, fast, slow. It's competitive spirit.
Every coach whiffs on somebody. What's the recruit you're proudest of in your life? You found a guy, he was ignored, and it was I told you so.
Oh, man. You put me on the spot there.
That's what I do. It's a journalist do, coach.
Well, I think JT Barrett would be the guy that was not a highly recruited guy. Yeah. I'm not claiming I found him because actually Tom Herman found him, but brought him to me, and here he goes down in one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play at Ohio State.
Talk about a big game quarterback.
Oh, yeah. And my Fox college football team analyst, they were giving me a hard time saying, on third down and one, we knew what you were going to do when you had JT. And I was like, you're damn right, because he couldn't stop it. JT Barrett for a first down.
All right, here we go. Let's bring out the new crew. Fox College Football Saturday Afternoon Show. Rob Stone, Reggie Bush, Brady Quinn, Matt Leinart. Let's bring them out.
Coach.
Rob Stone, you have your hands full dealing with these guys. You're going to have to deal with
them. No,
no, no.
It's 31. It's 31. I know, just to hand it to Urban. Just keep, you know, feed the machine.
So, college football, this is our new crew of all the guys here. And I think I've known all of you. Brady's probably the guy I haven't known. You're very outspoken. And that's what I love about. No, the guy I haven't spent the time with.
You know us Notre Dame guys. We fire shots, right? You got to watch out.
So let me ask you about, I want to ask you a draft question. So you have all these quarterbacks out here. Now, last year I thought, boy, these are a bunch of A's or potential A's. This year I look at them, I say, they could be good, but they feel like they all need to be developed. If I said, Brady, to you, what quarterback, you've got the number one pick or a top pick, who pops for you?
Dwayne Haskins for me. I mean, it's not because Coach is sitting right there. We tend to agree upon it. I got a chance to break him down a number of times this past year, and I think one of the things you saw throughout his game is he has a strong understanding of where the weaknesses are in the defense, what they're asking him to do, how to execute it, but also how he can exploit what the defense is trying to take away. So I looked at his game, the way he throws the football. He can make every throw. He's accurate. And I think the one thing that I even noticed a little bit, and Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, we saw him earlier in the year and we saw him later in the year.
Better player.
Not only a better player, you saw him grow as far as a leader and just the way he talked to you. He had more confidence. He had a little bit more bravado, if you will, as far as how he handled things. So that kind of came off to me as, yeah, he's only got 1 year of starting, but he's going to be able to grow and to continue to progress. And I think what they asked him to do at Ohio State's could be very similar in the NFL.
Okay, now, Matt, it's interesting because I struggled evaluating you out of college. I've joked to this. Much like at Ohio State at USC, when you've got NFL guys up front, you don't face duress a lot. When you have a Paris Campbell or you have a Steve Smith at USC, do you worry about Tua next year or Dwayne this year that you got better players around you? USC, you go to the NFL and you don't. Do you worry about that with Haskins?
No, I don't. I think, you know, like Coach says, and he would know this better than any of us, but Dwayne was really good at getting the ball out fast and understanding, like Brady said, understanding where defenses are trying to do to you offensively, where you're trying to exploit an offense. And the smart quarterbacks, even if they're not the most mobile or even if they have a great offensive line, they understand where the ball needs to go and they understand where it needs to go quickly. And, you know, for me, obviously, I played behind a great offensive line, one of the best. I had great players around me. And then when you do transition to the NFL, one of my, I think, positive in my game was I was smart. I knew where the blitz was coming. I knew where to get the ball out. So with Dwayne, I do think there's a small sample size. There's a one-year sample size, but the sky is the limit for this kid. And I think if he goes to a place where he can sit and understand, he's a big kid. I mean, he's a big kid. And I think if he can sit for a year or two and understand and get used to the speed of the NFL game, that's another thing, the speed and the size. He's got a chance to be a star.
Coach is chomping at the bit. You want to say something? I can
I'm
see
just
you.
Looking at these two beautiful quarterbacks and Rob right between them.
Here's what I need.
There's a two-way.
No, I need this table.
You're sitting on top of this?
I need this table.
Yeah! That's the way the world should be.
We have Heisman.
Very.
By the way,
well-groomed. I don't think this table was made for me.
I've known Robbie for about 25 years, a soccer player. We used to work in Tampa together. Poor Reggie, you're a running back. If this interview was 15 years ago, I wouldn't even care about these guys. Mm-hmm. What's it like to hang around quarterbacks, and it's all guys like me talk about now?
I'm enjoying it. Obviously, me and Matt have a great relationship. We go back a long time. And just getting to know Brady, Rob, Coach, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to building the chemistry. We've already been taking little cheap shots at each other, having fun. And that's really what it's all about, is recreating that chemistry on TV and allowing people to see just the authentic and genuine side of us.
Great stuff. Guys, congrats to all of you. Coach, it's great to have you on the team. Reggie, Matt, Rob, and Brady Quinn, congratulations to all of
you. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
According to Ian Rappaport, NFL reporter at Rapsheet, Raiders coach John Gruden and GM Mike Mayock sent their scouts home for the weekend, and they're not expected to return by draft time. The belief is they don't know who to trust and wanted to clear the room. Excuse me? What? Are we sure this is not a fake Ian Rappaport tweet? Well, is that his account? Okay. You tell me. I mean, this is crazy. First of all, the Raiders sort of got hosed with their schedule. So did Tampa Bay. The London games, basically Tampa Bay and Oakland have a 6-week stretch in which they don't play. They play four times on the road. Then they go to, you know, London, Oakland does. They already got hosed by their schedule. NFL admitted today it's not ideal for Tampa or Oakland, and Oakland doesn't play at home for about 5-6 weeks, and their division's really good. But that London thing's not going away because British soccer is getting more popular in America, and the NFL's getting more popular in Europe. Billionaires are seizing market share in other countries. It's called globalization. It's going nowhere. But the Raiders are just too much noise, all sorts of pots and pans thrown on a hardwood floor. They just acquired the number one diva in the NFL, Antonio Brown. They got rid of a great player, Khalil Mack. That made last year noisy. They got rid of Amari Cooper to the Cowboys, so everybody talks about that move. They hired John Gruden, who's the number one NFL analyst at a network. He's one of the more talkative head coaches. In fact, the two guys now running their organization are former TV analysts. They're moving to Vegas. They have three draft picks in the first round, which is great, but it's unheard of. They are built for Hard Knocks. Seriously, I think they'd be a better TV show than a football team. This is unbelievable. Gruden and Mike Mayock sent their scouts home for the weekend. They're not expected to return by draft time. The belief is they don't know who to trust and wanted to clear the room. For the record, schedules came out yesterday, right? And I'm into that stuff, or Wednesday night. Let's go over the Raiders' schedule and play the win-loss game. Because I last year I was out on the Raiders, got a lot of heat from people in Los Angeles, and I was right. I'm not much higher on them now, although I do think offensively they're going to be fun to watch. And I did give Gruden credit because I thought the Raiders played pretty well late in the year when everybody could have quit on John Gruden, and the players did not quit on John Gruden, so he deserves credit. Let's play the win-loss game. Open up with Denver at home. I'll give them a W. Denver in Denver early, and you don't want to play them, but Denver on the road, W. Then their schedule gets brutal. Kansas City, they're going to get whacked. At Minnesota, at Indy, they're not winning those games. Minnesota is not great at quarterback. They're great everywhere else. You're not beating Andrew Luck in a dome. They go to London, they'll get mauled by Chicago. They're not beating Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So they're going to start the year 1-5. I'll give them an upset win. They'll be an underdog at Houston, mostly because I think they're upgrading their defense through the draft, and Houston's O-line is bad. I'll give them a W over Detroit. What do you know, a two-game winning streak? But then they got to face the Chargers, loss. Cincinnati will win. Despite what all you kids think, traveling 3,000 miles to play the Jets, that's not going to be good for them. That's a loss. Mahomes, loss. Tennessee's going to be a borderline playoff team. That's a loss. They'll beat Jacksonville, lose to the Chargers. Denver late in the year, it's snowing sideways, but I'll give them a W there. I have them sweeping the Denver Broncos. I don't think they have better players necessarily, but I'll give you a sweep over Denver. And I know what you're all saying. Colin, you don't have a clue. That's 6 wins, 6-10. You know what Vegas has them at? 6.5. I'm not that far off. That's what the season looks like. They're going to be noisy. They're going to be fun. They're built for Hard Knocks. But this story today is another reason I can't buy the Raiders. It's just a mess. They got. You just don't want to be loud. This year, the Steelers got loud. They got noisy, underachieved. Green Bay this year, McCarthy, Rodgers, they got noisy. Here's who didn't make any noise. I didn't hear much out of Indy, made the playoffs. New England won the team. Rams didn't hear anything. Didn't hear much from the Chargers. You know, I'm hearing a ton from the Raiders. I'm hearing a lot from Cleveland. Noise is not good in this league. Seattle was good, and then they got noisy. And last year, you know what Seattle got? Quiet. And Seattle got better. This league is not about making noise. NBA is a soap opera. I think the NBA playoffs and the soap opera is better than the regular season. I don't mind a little noise in the NBA. I never have, because I think the great players like Kyrie and Durant, what did I say going into the NBA playoffs? I said, listen, Kyrie, a lot of noise. Kevin Durant, a lot of noise. Stars, shut it down in the playoffs. Historically in the NBA, I'm not bothered that LeBron would make noise in the regular season. Durant, Kyrie, they're all fine. NFL, noise is losses. And Cleveland's making a lot of noise, and Oakland's making a lot of noise. And last year, the quiet teams, were, even though they had stars, the Rams were quiet, the Patriots were quiet, Seattle got quiet, Philadelphia had a lot of stars, pretty quiet. Man. What a mess. They sent the scout homes. That'd be like having a movie and sending your cinematographer, your producer, and your camera guys home right before the movie starts. Apparently, the way it makes it sound, they're not even going to be around for the draft. Are they going to be in the war room? They don't know who to trust.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I don't know how I would have handled this situation, but I am blown away by how Josh Rosen is handling it. Imagine getting a job. And then the organization doesn't really know what it's doing. They have a head coach. They fire him. They have an offensive coordinator. They fire him. You're saddled with all that nonsense. They do a hype video yesterday. The Arizona Cardinals don't put Josh Rosen in it. We hammered him for it. They were listening. I have had that verified. And an hour later, they changed the hype video to put Josh Rosen in it. Josh Rosen has been dealing with crap for a year in Arizona. Nothing but garbage. Okay, they got the fourth best roster in their division, one of the bottom five rosters in the NFL. They can't get the head coach right. They can't get the coordinators right. And now there's been this 8-week love fest with Kyler Murray, the 5'9" quarterback, 5'10" quarterback at Oklahoma. And the whole time Josh Rosen hadn't said a word. Well, yesterday he was quoted. He came out, he was talking about with some friends. They followed him around. And I think the kid is really handling it like a pro.
I definitely understand the situation. I mean, it's annoying, but like, it is what it is. Football is a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions. I think the season probably went as poorly as it could possibly go, but within that, had an unbelievable time. We won 3 games, and each one of those wins, to me, it felt like we won the Super Bowl.
I got to tell you, poise under noise is a big thing for me. I like Josh Rosen more and more. I like him more and more. I think of him Arizona, I keep him. I take Nick Bosa. I get the best football player in the draft. The two best football players in the draft are Quinnen Williams from Alabama and Nick Bosa at Ohio State. Those are the two best football players. All my scouts are like, those are the two best players. Nick Bosa may end up going 2 if Arizona goes with the quarterback. Today, I'm about getting better. I draft Nick Bosa. For 10 years, I have an elite pass rusher. The pass rusher outside of the quarterback is about the most important position in football. Get a quarterback. Get a guy who can get their quarterback. But Josh Rosen handled this way better than I would have. If you brought me to Fox Sports, and within a year, they were talking about replacing me, and I'm supposed to sit there for 12 weeks and not say a word, I'm not sure how I'd handle it. And I'm in my 50s. This kid's in his early 20s. So I'm on Team Rosen now. I understand the concerns about his health. That's always been my number one issue. He was a little brittle at at UCLA, and Arizona got a bad O-line. That worries me. I mean, that worries me. If I was Arizona and I could trade down and get offensive linemen, I would. But they got the number one pick. Go get the best player available at that spot. Get Nick Bosa. I think the kid's handling it way better than I would have. Not a peep. I mean, yesterday they released a hype video. They don't put him in it. They have 15 quarterbacks get pictured. He's not one of them. Is it look maybe like they don't know what they're doing in Arizona sometimes? Coach can't get it right. Coordinator couldn't get it right. Hype video can't get it right. Fourth best roster in the division can't get it right. Rosen, I'm starting to think he deserves a better organization. All right, let me shift to this. I have a rule in life. New information equals new opinion. I know what some of you say. Colin, he is a flip-flopper. Well, no, I get new information and I change my opinion. I mean, if Tom Brady went down, broke his leg tomorrow, I have a new opinion on New England. That's the way stockbrokers work, pilots work. Smart people in America change their opinion all the time because they get new information. Okay, dumb guys. Hey, I said this 9 years ago. This is how I think. Well, there's new information. I don't care. I'm a man of my word. You're a dumb man of your word. Change your opinion all the time if you get new information. So the schedules came out this week. I don't think a hard schedule takes a great team and makes them bad. I don't think an easy schedule takes an average team and makes them great. But can the schedule change your season? Yeah. It can be a game or two. Absolutely. You're a young team, a new head coach. You have a brutal opening month. You start 1-3 instead of 3-1 because the schedule's brutal. You're on the road. You're facing elite teams, quarterbacks. So the Chicago Bears are picked by everybody to win their division. I looked at their schedule, and this does not look like, with Mitch Trubisky, a schedule that's going to win the division. First of all, their second week, they're at Denver. Denver doesn't lose at home. In Denver. They haven't for years. One of the toughest places to play in early September. They have a 3-game brutal stretch middle of the season where they face Saints, Chargers, and at Philadelphia. That is tough. And that's off the London game. So they come back to the States and they got to go Breeze, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz. Then at the end of the season, it's brutal. The last month, they face the Cowboys, at Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and at Minnesota. Oh, by the way, squeezed in between those two at the LA Rams on the West Coast. Vegas only has their over-under at 9.5, and they went 12-4 last year. So Vegas is pulling back big time on Chicago. So am I. I look at this schedule. I'm with Vegas on this. They lost their defensive coordinator. Vic Fangio's in Denver now. They face him week two. He knows that personnel. They lost a starting safety. I'm with Vegas on this. I think they're around a 9-win team from a 12-win team, a pullback team. Last year, by the way, I called the Vikings, who went 13 wins. I called them a pullback team. I called Jacksonville a pullback team. They pulled back. I think the Bears pull back. They're in the 9-7 category. Also, great defenses, by the way. If you have a great quarterback, your offense is usually good, like the Saints and like New England, for 10 straight years. Defenses are different. The Vikings, Jags had great defenses. The next year, they didn't. The 2016 Giants were 11-5 with a great defense. Next year, they were 3-13. Defenses ebb and flow. And let me go to another team where I think their schedule is beneficial, Green Bay. So Green Bay's in the same division. Most people see them as number two in the division. I think they win the division this year. And here's why. Look at Green Bay's schedule. They get Denver early in Green Bay. They get tough Philadelphia early in Green Bay. They end the year when it's lousy outside. They have the best quarterback against Minnesota and Detroit, and they're both indoor games in December. That's a big advantage. I get Aaron Rodgers indoor last two games of the year in bad climates. Those could be nightmares if it's blowing sideways in Detroit and Minnesota and you played outdoors. Also, in their toughest part of the schedule, the middle of it, they have an at Kansas City, at Chargers, Carolina bye at San Francisco. Well, the Chargers game is going to be a 70-30 Packer crowd at the Chargers Stadium. That's a home game. And then they get a bye before they have to go out west, so that alleviates a lot of the problems with that. Green Bay's five of their first seven games are at home with a new coach. Vegas has them at over under 9.5. I'll go over with Green Bay at 10. So I think the Bears schedule, Vegas has them 9.5. I'll go 9. And I think Green Bay's schedule, Vegas has them 9.5. I think they go 10. I think that schedule takes away a game from the Bears and adds a game, a win, to the Packers. So I don't think a schedule is going to take a crappy team. You're not going to take, Tampa Bay and make them New England. And you're not going to take New England if they had a hard schedule and make them Arizona. But I think it can affect you. And I think the Bears are a little less of a team today because of that schedule. And I think the Packers are a little more of a team due to their schedule.